Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They have been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to talk with author Joe Spraga. We're going to talk about his book and animals and all kinds of stuff. It's just going to be a nice, fun chat. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sherry. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm really happy to have you. We met through my friend Jen. It was really fun. Remember?
Yep. Absolutely.
And I think you're very creative, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you.
Yeah, me too.
In a little tiny bite, could you tell a little bit about your background?
So my name's Joe Spraga. I live in Michigan, the Detroit metropolitan area. I graduated from Western Michigan University with a degree in creative writing, a minor in philosophy. I was a musician for a long time in my younger days. And in about 2015, I became disabled. I have a lot of health problems now. And right around that time, when I was going through stuff, I realized I got to get serious about writing and getting this story out. So I wrote my book, The Snitch, The Witch, and The One Who Was Rich, which was an earworm in my head for about 18 years. And I got that done because I honestly didn't want to waste any more time. I independently published it, and now I like spending time with dogs. That's pretty much what I do. I go to the doctor, I promote my book, and I hang out with my dog.
So you said one of the things I always find really interesting is how you can't really avoid the creativity of writing a book because it won't leave you alone. I call it niggles, kind of niggles in your head. what was the inspiration that started the niggle?
Well, yeah, I kind of agree. That's a good word for it, but I feel okay, so I wrote the book, but I feel it was more written through me than me writing it, because I was in college and I was taking a painting class. I was doing my elective courses, and I took an oil painting class, and I did a painting, a still life painting, and it was there was a very large studio, and they had all these knickknacks and all these like models and all these things you could pick. So I just walked up and I picked these three things. I picked a little ceramic owl and one of those old, I don't know if you remember those old kitchen witches. Moms used to hang them in their kitchen, you know, and you could put like potpourri in them or whatever. And then this little ceramic king guy. It was these three little statues. And I painted it, and my professor at the time said, well, what are you going to call it? What are you going to title it? He goes, it's really good. It's really interesting. And as soon as he said that, I said, I'll call it The Snitch, The Witch, and The One Who Was Rich. And as soon as I said the title of the painting, the entire chorus of the book, my book is written in verse, and there's three choruses. But anyway, the entire chorus of the book popped into my head, and I did not write it; just popped in there. And that's why I say I feel like it was written through me, because it was just this like thing, and it just, now the chorus of the book stuck in my head, but I hadn't figured out who all the characters were, and I didn't have a story, and that took me 18 years to build the story around that chorus. So essentially, I have a series of seven paintings, and each painting title is a line of the chorus. So for example, the first painting was The Snitch, The Witch, and The One Who Was Rich, and then the next painting I did was Elroy, Fitzroy, and Mr. Stitch, and it goes on and on and on. I don't want to give too much away, but each title of the paintings, if you say them out loud in sequential order, is the entire chorus of the book. And then I went back and I built a story around that. And the reason it took me so long, I don't know, it's arguably the greatest case of writer's block, but I realized I hadn't lived long enough to really have enough life experience to write the story that I wanted. So once I got sick and I realized I don't know how much time I have left, I was like, I got to get this out. This story has to be told. And I tried traditional routes. I tried to get it published, you know, through publishers. And I got a lot of good feedback, a positive feedback, but they said, it's too long. We don't know how to market it, you know, because it's a very unique story. So I just decided to do it myself because with the health issues that I have, I didn't want to wait around, you know, and let time go by.
That's interesting that you knew that you weren't ready yet. Was it just like basically an inkling that, wait, there's more that I need to learn before I can write this?
Well, no, I didn't realize that until I got to be about in my late 30s. I couldn't figure out why I had writer's block. I'm like, why? Because everything, the way the chorus of the book flowed, it was so natural, the cadence and the rhythm. Every time I would try to come up with, well, what are all these characters doing together and what are they trying to say and what am I trying to say, it felt very artificial. It wasn't true to the chorus and the nature of what inspired me and what came through me. So I had to wait. And then finally, I realized, oh, I was trying to manufacture this thing. This is a really organic thing. And I had to just live longer to have enough life experience to be able to match my philosophies and ideas and put those into the verse and the cadence and the rhythm so I could tell a story about these different kind of characters and about how people need to get along. And that's something for me that I needed to just be alive longer. Because when the chorus popped into my head, it was, I got to say, 1994, maybe 95. And I didn't understand what I was trying to do. I had the paintings, I had the characters, what they looked like and their names, but I didn't know who they were, and I didn't know why they were all together, and I didn't know what I was trying to say. But like I said, with life experience, in hindsight, I realized I just had to live longer.
That's interesting. Do you are you writing any new books, and is it the same story? I mean, is it like from your artwork that you are getting the inspiration to write books, or is it now the other way around that you're getting the inspiration to write books and the artwork comes?
Well, that's an interesting question. So there's a couple answers to that. I'm not writing any other books right now because I have everything invested in this one, and I've got to really market this one and sell as many as I can. Plus, I'm doing a lot of doctor's appointments and physical therapy and stuff like that. However, there is more in my mind to this world than the book that I wrote. There's other interactions, there's other characters in this world. There's, you know, I've even got it, like, what's their, you know, import-exports for the town that they live in, and who are some of the big villains, and what's happened in the history, and why do they, you know, the town they live in is called Moonwood. I named it Moonwood. I never say it in the book, but that's one of those things. It's like, in the book, I just refer to it as the town, but the town is called Moonwood. And I have all these other ideas and all these other satellite stories and historical, you know, things I could do. But right now, I have to just focus on this and my health. And, you know, I live one day at a time. And this book has been a real cathartic thing for me, a real Zen thing for me. It's like as ambitious as I am with how much I want to tell more, I need to slow it down and just be true to the characters I created, because I know what I want to say if I have the opportunity to say it in the future. Right now I got to introduce all these people, all these characters in this world to our real world to us humans. And then if, and the story is fine. It's standalone the way it works. It's fine the way it is now. But there is the luxury of being able to add more. And if I'm able to do that, I'll do that later. But right now, I'm just focusing on health issues and finances and things like that. Now, as far as other stories that aren't related to it, I honestly don't have one in my mind that I feel I could match or top what I've done. And they're definitely not as vivid detail in my mind as this one was. But there are some floating around. And I really don't think I want to do another. I mean, this series of these characters, you know, obviously it's in verse. And, you know, it's got the rhyming, the cadence, and I'll stick to it for this. But I don't really want to do the same thing twice. I'm not, you know, like a Dr. Seuss where every book I write, I want it to rhyme. I don't like to do the same thing twice. So these other stories that I do have in mind that aren't fully formed or, you know, in my opinion, nearly as charming as this one is, those would probably just be in prose if I ever get the opportunity to get to it. So, yeah, there's the answer to that.
Okay. Do you do art while you're – I mean, there's between time for promotion. I mean, you don't do promotion every day.
No, I know, but I don't do promotion every day because other days I'm finding doctors, I'm getting referrals, I'm getting scanned. You know, I live one day at a time. Like today right now is promotion day and interview day. And then tomorrow's, I got two more doctor's appointments I got to go to. So I have to, like, be the writer. I get to be, like, writer Joe Spraga 2 days a week. And then I'm, like, health advocate Joe Spraga, like, the other days. I wear a couple hats, I guess. But I was an art major, and I did do art. But what happened was, once I got my health problems and I had cancer and I was fighting cancer, I ended up hiring. I had all the characters, like I said, I created them, and I painted them and I sketched them, and I did like a rough storyboard of everything. But I did have to hire somebody because I was having surgeries and going through radiation, and I just couldn't do it. And I got lucky enough to find somebody that would do it. And I mean, I let them use their artistic license, of course, their talents. Which, by the way, is very hard to do for an artist because you don't. It's really hard to trust another person with your vision. But I lucked out as far as this situation was concerned. So I sketched everything out and I storyboarded everything out, and I just had them do the final thing because I was really sick at the time and I was going through a lot of treatment.
And now are you like best buddies with them? Have you?
No. No, he moved away. I haven't talked to him ever since. I mean, we worked on the project for about 4 months, and it was all via email because he lived far away and I was sick. And after I got all the files and everything was done, I paid him, and he moved away. I don't even know where he went. We're not best buds. It was really a business transaction, and that was it. I didn't have any hopes or dreams. If we would have been best buds, I would have been great. But I was just trying to get the project done, and I guess he was, like, trying to get his life going, get his career started, you know? So he was doing art, as much art jobs as he could, you know, like everybody does. You know, you network, you meet people. And when the project was over, I paid him, and then he moved. I don't even know where he went, to be honest.
I don't know. I have an interesting relationship. The person who does my covers and does my artwork is also one of my best friends.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I can see how that can, I can see, because it's a trust thing, I know. I mean, it was really hard for me to trust him, but I really trusted his artistic abilities and his internal vision. And I, like I said, I wouldn't have minded ended up being friends with him, but it was just one of those. I was in a real, you know, I had cancer. It was a real selfish time. I had two surgeries and radiation. I'm going downtown, cancer, Carmanos, it's called out here. Going down there, going to another hospital for the surgeries, going to some, you know, for, it was just, I was just busy. So maybe I didn't have the ability to kind of articulate that, you know, I was looking for a friendship or at least a lifetime partnership, you know, but it really, you know, it wasn't anything personal. It just worked out that way.
Do you, when you're, this is a really strange question, when you're dreaming or when you are, like, off time playing with your dog or anything, do thoughts and ideas for your work pop into your mind?
Yeah. Not so much when I'm dreaming. My brain just lets go when I dream. I have, like, the weirdest, strangest things. It's because I've been through a lot, I think. But once I had the cancer and I had the surgeries, my entire body changed and my brain changed. And I'm completely, at least biologically or physiologically, I'm very different. And my brain, I think, just goes and has a good time when I'm sleeping. But in everyday activities, like if I'm with my dog or I'll go to the gas station and I'll put the nozzle in the gas tank and I'll look out and I'll see something. I'll be like, oh, that's part of my world, or oh, that would be a good story, or oh, that. So yeah, I get like mental, I get mental pictures that just pop in there, which is the opposite of what happened with this book. The words popped in before I had all the pictures. And now when I do get ideas for other work or additional storyline for this one, it's all visual images. And I think that's because I did have the art background. And, yeah, it's one of those things. Creativity just, it just shows up. It's like a surprise party for you every day. It's like, hey, here's an idea, you know. Here's another idea, you know. So, yeah.
It is. It's really weird, you know, how things just pop into your head. And you never really – one of my short stories that became very popular was a really, really weird dream. Some of my stuff does come from my dreams. And I couldn't get it out – my personal thing is, if I can't get it out of my head, it's meant to be a story because it won't leave me alone.
Right.
And this one was one of those. It just would not leave me alone. It kept bugging me wherever I went, whatever I did. I went, oh, fine, I'll make you a story.
No, I agree. My book, the chorus of my book, was an earworm. It's a song. I literally hear it as a song in my head, you know, now for the last 24 or 25 years. And I figured, well, everybody else needs to know this too because it's driving me crazy. So I'm going to stick this song in everybody else's head because, I don't know, I get real, like, spiritual. I think the universe – we're going to get out there a little bit. I think human beings are antennas. I think we are all antennas. And whatever frequency you're tuned to, the universe gives you – messages and ideas. So if you're like a jerk and you're tuned to a negative frequency, you're going to get negative ideas. And if you're a good person, you're going to get good ideas. You know, maybe you'll join the Peace Corps or whatever. And if you're a smart person, you're going to get scientific ideas and math ideas. And if you're a creative person, you're going to get the snitch, the witch, the one who was rich. You're going to get, you know, all these little mental images. And you're going to, you know, you're going to want to do, you know, artsy people, paint, dance, sing, whatever. And I think we're just all little antennas picking up messages from the universe. And that's how this happened for me. That's why I say I feel it was written through me. Because there was no work at all, none on my part, to come up with the course of this book. It popped in my head all at once, instantaneously. It was like a message. I don't know how else to say it.
That's really interesting. Have you ever had anything like that other than that one chorus come into your head like that before?
Well, yeah, when I was a musician, music, ideas, rhythms always came to me. you know, lyrics, and but that was real. See, that was it was a little different. It's the same but different. But I would literally, instead of having mental images or hearing words, I'd walk down the street and a tune or a riff or a beat, it would literally like enter me and I would like start walking different. I would like walk to it, or it's just, I pick up on things, creative signals. Now, the reason I'm not a musician anymore, you know, we all got older. Some guys got married. I ended up having health problems, so I had to weigh my options. And it just wasn't feasible to keep touring and driving to different states and stuff like that. But I think the musical nature of me and the writer, the love of the written word in me coalesced. So at that one moment when I was in that painting class where I was like always receiving music ideas and I was always, you know, getting ideas for themes for stories, and in that one instance it all combined to make the chorus of this book, and it came out that way. That's the best way I can try to explain it.
I think that happens to most of us. It just is that you're acknowledging it.
Yeah, well, but that acknowledgement, I have to admit, it took me 20 years to figure that out. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Like I said, I just hadn't lived long enough to understand what was going on yet. But I agree.
Because I think creativity, everybody has a creative side, whatever it is. I mean, it could be baking, it could be gardening, it could be, it doesn't have to be art. It could be, there's a creativity to mathematics. I mean, everybody has a creative side. And I think that thing where you get the niggle, which is what I call it, it comes to everybody. It's whether you listen to it or not that is the big deal.
Right.
You know, it's whether you accept it and listen to it and use it as a positive thing that makes the difference.
Yeah, I agree. It when I said everybody's antennas, you got to realize you're an antenna, and then you got to realize where you want to tune yourself and what kind of information you pick up on. And it's really see, when I had this when I had cancer and I going through my surgeries, you really, at least for me, it was a real introvert singular experience, and I had to go inside myself, and I didn't want to do that I didn't want to stay that way is what I should say. I didn't want to be all inward and focused on, well, what am I going to do, worried about me all the time. And I really tried to say to myself, I got to let more of the universe in to let me know what I should be doing. And then that gave me the perspective on everything that's happened, at least with this story, at the very least. And, you know, that's how I got here. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you got to let the messages in. You got to know what to listen to, and you got to know what are good ideas and what are bad ideas, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Do your dogs help you?
I'm sorry?
Do your dogs help you?
All dogs help everybody, as far as I'm concerned. I like dogs more than I like people. I don't know what it is about them. They just have a real in-the-moment, genuine nature. And I see so much of what humanity could be in dogs. I know that sounds kind of artsy, hippie silliness, but anytime you're around a dog, you just, or at least me, I have good experiences, you know. They're just happy to be there, and you're happy to be with them, and they help me emotionally and spiritually, yes.
I'll expand that. I think all animals are like that.
Sure.
All animals are sweet, innocent, whatever kind of an animal it is, a predator or not a predator or whatever the heck they are, they're all innocent. all they just do what their nature intends to do, and they're doing it for their family. And the more I watch nature shows, the more I realize how sweet and innocent animals are. You know, like even something scary like a shark or a crocodile or a polar bear or anything like that, they're feeding their family. They're doing it to survive. They're not doing it to show that they are manly or womanly or they're rich or look at me, I'm wearing a fur coat or any of that. They're doing it for one reason. They're feeding their family or they're feeding themselves, and they're living and they're existing and they're helping. And some animals like dolphins and some of the gorilla family and lions, they really help each other. They care for each other. It's amazing if you look how beautiful the world of nature is and how unselfish it is. And you're right. It's like, this is the way humans should be.
Yeah, you know, there's just more of a, they're more, at least for me, my experience, my personal experience with dogs is just, there's a sense of community and family and honor and loyalty. And you don't get that nowadays as much as you should from people.
Yeah. And also, when you're going through, when you're going through difficulty, whatever the difficulty is, it helps to have a pet. Because
Yeah. You
can focus on the pet. You are not the center of the world. You have a dog, so you have to walk the dog, you have to feed the dog, you have to brush the dog, you have to care for the dog. You know, you focus on your pet, and it takes you out of, like you were saying, it takes you out of yourself. I think that's one of the reasons that we're so attached to them.
Yeah, they help us. As much as
Yeah. We
care for them and groom them and feed them and take them to the vet, they give us a lot too. You know what I mean?
Yes, I have a new family member, and she's just so funny. She's a cat, and she's a nut, but she's so smart. And, I mean, she figured out how to flush the toilet. She's only 5 months old.
That's cool.
She watched me flush the toilet. She says, oh, okay, you just moved this lever, and she used her paw, and she did.
Yeah, curiosity is another thing. They have that innocent curiosity, and it's refreshing.
It's really fun and beautiful, and like I said, you're not thinking about you while you're watching your pet be a little silly girl or boy. You know, it helps. Like you said, they are such a help to your own psyche. It's a good thing.
Yes. It helps you get out of your own mind and be connected more to nature and therefore the universe, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very important. And, I mean, I also think it's an idea of conception and mindset. Like, I'm going to take something out of left field. Like, some people look at aliens as demons and horrible and like War of the Worlds. And then other people look at aliens like anthropologists who are just basically studying us and seeing what we're doing and if we're going to blow ourselves up or not. You know, it's how you look at things. If you focus on the good, then that's the way it goes. If you're focusing on something negative, well, that's the way it goes too, you know, and it's really interesting how the mind works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I say, you know, you gotta kind of create your own internal dialogue with yourself and then focus on what works for you and only on the good, positive ideas. I agree.
I just think it's funny. I mean, people are weird, but we as a species have to start acting with humanity and grow up and be nice.
Right.
Care.
That's pretty much it. Just be nice.
Yeah. And it's just like the old adage you learned when you were a child. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Right. Absolutely.
To turn back to your book, do you have any events scheduled either locally or anywhere that you're going to be doing a book signing? I know you have health issues and you may not be doing that.
No, that's actually the only one. No, I do as many of those as I can. Like when I'm clear, at least for the cancer, for the next 4 months. So I'm trying to fit in as many as I can. And I do have one signing I'm doing on the 22nd, which is in what, 4 days, five days? And it's at the Hilton Garden Inn in Troy, Michigan. I'll be there with a bunch of other local independent Michigan authors. And it's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And it's a really great place. A little bit, I'm slowly integrating myself into the local author indie community here. And so far, everybody I've met, writers, are great. And this is another one of those really cool events where you get to go out and spend time with, you know, independent authors, buy their books, talk to them, do all kinds of stuff. But yeah, like I said, it's Saturday the 22nd, 10 to 6 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Troy, Michigan.
And are you doing any online events too?
Well, I don't have really events. My online presence is just my website and my social media. My website is joespraga.com, joespraga.com. And you can order my book there. You can send me emails there. And all my links to my social media are on my website. You know, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are the three that I use. So, I have to admit, I probably should do a giveaway or orchestrate some sort of online street team kind of thing. And I do plan on doing those things, but you know, it's like I said with my health issues and the book, I have to take one day at a time. So I figure in the next month or two, I'm going to at least try to get a street team going and do some book giveaways just to get the word out.
Well, that's a great idea. So pay attention to your website. And can you give that website one more time?
My website is joespraga.com, joespraga.com. Now, if you can also just find me, Google Joe Spraga, I come up, or The Snitch, The Witch, and The One Who Was Rich, and it comes up. But the easiest way is joespraga.com.
Basically, we've come to the end of the show. I want to thank you so much for coming on. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. I mean, it's nice to talk about my book and get the word out, but it's also nice to kind of get an opportunity to share a little bit more about myself and learn about you and let people know that what went into what the backstory is about how this book got created, both literally and spiritually. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
You're welcome.